All right. Oh.
We are here.
We're here. We're queer. It's Pride Month in a few days. You're used to it.
We celebrate Pride all year long.
We really do. That's... Hi, welcome to Two Lacquered Ladies, the podcast about nail polish and nail art by the ladies who stream it. I'm Stephanie, aka Fanaticure, on every social media platform that matters. I'm an unprofessional nail artist, and I like to make fan art on my nails.
Howdy, my name is Danny, and you can find me as Danny Shout online. I'm a science educator by day and a nail art hobbyist by night. On stream, I like to create scenes with themes on my nails. Just keeps cutting out because it's so loud, I guess. So I just heard that, doot.
That doot. Was me. That was pomp and circumstance.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we took a hiatus. We took a little break, and it's all my fault. Sorry, everybody.
Danny had to graduate.
I had to graduate. I was finishing up my last couple courses, getting my master's in biological sciences. So I can do some stuff with that now, supposedly.
You can dissect owl pellets all on your own without a teacher. Yeah,
no parental permission slip needed. I do keep seeing, like, I love teachers on TikTok. They're so funny. And I did see one pop up. It was like, me with a master's degree on my way to get abused by 12-year-olds all day.
Ooh. It's going to be you.
Yeah, now I can finally live my Jenna Marbles dream of crying over my master's degree.
Yes.
That was just one of my favorite moments in her videos.
I love that part too. That's of course, I think that was most people's first video they ever saw of Jenna Marbles.
Yeah.
Does she actually have a master's?
Yeah, she got a master's in physical therapy, I think, or I don't know if it's called master's of physical therapy, but like the person who does physical therapy. I want to say that's what her master's was in, which is really cool. And I wonder if she's using that now. I think about that every now and then. I'm like, did she finally use her master's degree? No offense if she didn't. Like, she's wildly successful without it. But it is just kind of funny to think, like, huh, I wonder what she ended up doing.
It makes me wonder if I, like, look enough for, like, a physical trainer or, like, you know, in L.A., if I could hire Jenna Marbles.
It would be pretty awesome.
It would be so bizarre. And yeah. I don't even know what I would do if that happened, because I'd be like, is bringing up YouTube going to be, like, is that a no-no?
I'm sure a joke here or there would be fine. Like, I was just picturing, like, someone, like, rehabilitating their legs or whatever, like, trying to stand up straight, being like, I want to be tall.
Yes.
Surely she'd appreciate that.
I hope so. I hope that she appreciates it when her fans, like, are like, oh my God, because, yeah, we miss her. Come back. Come back, Jenna Marbles. Come back.
We need you now more than ever.
We really do. The world needs you. But yeah, so we took a hiatus so that Danny could finish up the school year, could finish up the both school years. But you're still, you just finished up your regular school year.
Eh, kind of. The kids finished. Teachers, yeah. And I know, that face sums up my feelings exactly. So the kids are now done, which is a big relief. And like, we can all like take a little sigh of relief. They're off. They're free. They're their parents' problems now. And but teachers have to do a little bit more in service. So I do technically have one more week, and then I might be doing a few things in the summer. But yeah, it's slowing down significantly. And I have free time, which I've been using every minute of to sleep, to catch up in my sleep and catch up in my like relaxation that I haven't really been able to do for a while. But yeah.
Well, that is amazing. You deserve it.
Thank you.
I have been trying and occasionally failing to keep up with doing content creation. I tried to do a weekly video. That didn't happen last week, but that is okay because another one's coming out this week. But we've been having a really interesting time while you've been on hiatus. Yeah. Because one day I was on stream And one of my friends came in and was just like, hi, just so you know, I mentioned your Discord in a group and a bunch of people are going to join your Discord. I was like, interesting. Well,
okay.
Welcome. Anyway, we neither Danny nor I know a lot about this. I know more than Danny. But apparently there was some drama in the Reddit Lacaristas community.
On Reddit? No. There's
yeah, drama on Reddit.
Reddit?
It's such a nice, comforting place, which is why I removed the app from my phone so that I cannot comment on stuff. When you comment on stuff on YouTube and you say something super dumb, which I am wont to do, people tend to go like, well, that person's dumb and move on. But when you say something stupid on Reddit, they will find your children and eat them. Yeah. Like, you will never know peace. And maybe you think maybe I shouldn't post stupid stuff places, but I can't help it. So
you come from Tumblr. It's all you know.
It's your right, culture. You're so right. Because on Tumblr, you can say the most unhinged crap.
And like, love it. Everybody loves it.
Everyone loves it.
Like the Pennywise stuff you were telling me about. We don't have to bring that up. But
I will just say to the audience at home, if you ever wondered if people would like to have adult relationships with Pennywise and perhaps explore some hurt comfort topics or things like that and how their beloved good boyfriend Pennywise, who is, I will say it here, as I've said it a million times, a projection a space spider has made to embody the worst fears of children.
Is that actually the plot?
Yes.
That's weirder than I thought. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, if you want to have
every day I learn something new about Pennywise.
And you never wanted to learn any of it, did you?
I never wanted to learn any of it.
I haven't watched it yet, but Jenny Nicholson has a video about Pennywise.
Oh, God.
I was showing my friend all of her videos the other day, and I was like, oh, my God, I've never watched this one. Because I assume I saw it years ago and went, I don't care.
Yeah.
But now I oddly care because I don't like Pennywise. I don't like It by Stephen King. I have read the book. There's two ways to read that book. Read it and hate it and be disgusted and never look at it again. Or read it, have very convenient memory loss.
Yes.
Because I've met so many people who have lost a very specific memory.
That happened? Like, yeah.
Of that book.
Yep.
And then love it. Or if you're Nikki, you're somewhere in between where you remember a different thing and that's your sticking point. Because I had convenient memory loss that also in that book, the whole universe is turtle vomit. And whenever I bring up my issues with it, Nikki's like, we're all turtle vomit. I can't get over it.
We're all turtle vomit, so it doesn't matter. Okay, you know, that makes me feel better, actually, about the whole thing.
Honestly?
Are we expecting vomit to be better than it is? No, it's vomit.
No, we're just turtle vomit.
From a turtle.
If you want to read people's headcanons about how their boyfriend, who is a projection of fear by a space spider, how he would treat them if they were sick or had their period or something, you can read all of that on Tumblr. Just type in Pennywise headcanons. Don't say I didn't warn you. But anyway, the point is... Welcome to Tangent Time. Mark it off on your bingo card. That we came to that because we were just saying how unhinged Tumblr is.
Yes. It's ridiculous.
You can post anything on that website and be celebrated.
It's amazing. It's over-inclusive, if I might be so bold.
How dare you? That's my home. This is my trash can. Anyway, so yeah, I guess there was a Discord for the Reddit Lacaristas. I will not get too far into what happened there because I was not involved.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spread rumors about people I don't even know. But I guess the person who had the capability of shutting the whole thing down decided to shut the whole thing down. And so suddenly we were flooded with refugees. And it really felt like we were some like port town.
Yeah.
Some small port town that, like, usually just, like, the one ship with our supplies shows up. But, like, suddenly there was, like, a cruise ship that like sunk off the coast and like all these lifeboats were flooding in and we were just like, funnily enough, the last thing I had posted before people started funneling in, like I have a section called night blogging in the Discord where I just post, like, usually I'm there at night as it suggest, and like I'll like live blog like movies I'm watching, or I wanted to go find some Pennywise headcanons that I remembered because there's this great one about the Tim Curry Pennywise that's like how he acts when you're sick, and it ends with "but deep down he cares."
But deep down he cares.
I can't get over the idea that deep down Pennywise cares. So I was trying to find that one to show everybody who wasn't listening about what I find on Tumblr. And so I had just posted like post after post of these Pennywise headcanons. And I was like, well, if these people get past the Pennywise headcanons, then I guess they're allowed to be
here. Exactly. Yeah. They come into port and there's this like pile of just, you know, rubbish and barbed wire, and just, it's very, if they clown can climb jizz over that, they deserve to be in town.
Welcome. Yeah. Yeah. So from there, you know, we heard more about the stuff that happened, but yeah, mostly it was just kind of like, I was just kind of like, hello, strangers. Do you know what it's like in here?
Yeah. Are you sure you want to stick around? But you know, if they do, welcome. We enjoy having more friends.
Yeah, we absolutely do. And so, yeah, quite a few people have joined from that community. I do hear that community does have a new Discord server, which I really hope is going well.
Yeah.
And I hope everybody involved, I hope, obviously, wish for the best for everybody.
I guess I have been so spoiled by your Discord and our community that I just can't even imagine drama in the nail polish world, because I'm like, no, we're talking about Pennywise and painting our nails. What's there to be mad about? But then I saw a couple posts on Instagram. Again, I'm not going to say names or anything because I, too, do not want to spread anything. But they were like, this person has created a new account and they're like a bully and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just like, no, we're adults. Stop it. I don't understand being above the age of, honestly, 17, you know, and still causing drama. I don't understand it.
I live by a simple rule, which is why there is very little drama around me at all times. Keep your friends close and your enemies far, far away.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye. You know, we were talking about this actually on the Discord. We were talking about this when everything started happening. And I think that one of the things that can happen, because I've seen community drama time and time again online, and it tends to be in situations where there is a something in service to the community that wasn't built out of, what would the word be? My Discord is the, for lack of a better term, fanatic your fan club Discord.
Yeah.
It is not a democracy. Like, of course, I serve my community there by keeping, you know, making sure that everybody's getting along, making sure that people are polite, that I'm setting the appropriate rules, all that stuff. But like, if somebody is hurting other people in the community, I'm not going to ask the community what to do about it. I'm not.
This is a monarchy.
Yeah. I'm not going to take a vote.
Yeah.
I might ask my most trusted advisors. Yeah. I might ask Danny. I might ask my mods. I might ask, of course, the people who are directly involved. But if I see some, like, a conversation happening that I feel like was, like, hostile, I'll usually go to the person who I felt like was wronged and be like, hi, how did you feel about that? Should we have a conversation? Should I talk to that person? And usually they'll have resolved it on their own.
Yeah.
Like, the vast majority of times. But yeah, there are times when people, you know, when people are not the right fit, but it's hard, a lot harder when it's a community that is from a community.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. When what brought people together is a commonality that nail polish can't ban you.
Yeah. Nail polish can't run your Discord.
Yeah. What if it could? What a weird world.
It'd be very convenient.
Like, I just pictured like fortune tellers' bones and stuff, like the bottle falls over and everyone gasps.
But in addition, also, like, our community is, like, we have a certain type of person that's in our community. And people who are not, you know, are not up with that vibe, they kind of tend to see themselves out. Whereas the, like, say, a Reddit community, you're more likely to be like, well, let's all get along.
Yeah. It's impossible.
Yeah. Like,
it's
yeah.
the internet.
It's not particularly possible to do that. So yeah, I can understand why things will go south. And
yeah,
not that like an influencer's community can't go south, like especially if the influencer is questionable.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Or if they step away for whatever reason, again, not naming names.
So yeah, I can see how it happened. Hopefully everybody is chill and hopefully everybody will be kind to everybody. I think that really the drama has passed over us completely.
Yeah, we got the far drifters, I think.
they'd
drift pretty far to get here. And so they're just, you know, they're the ones who made it and deserve to be here. So welcome, everybody who's new. Can't wait to get to know you.
Yeah.
So last time we officially talked was like the beginning of April. Happy super belated birthday. I hope you enjoyed the birthday collabs. I know I enjoyed mine and all the weird stuff people are willing to put on their nails for me. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. It was so fun to put it together and see what people came up with. And also hilariously see people scramble for what to do. Because I'm just like, it's anything but polish. Like, put your hand in a jar of peanut butter. Who cares?
I love it.
Yeah.
I just want to see people squeeze things, you know, like a whole stick of butter. Just squeeze it until it squishes between your nails. That's what I like.
Forget that you told me that. You'll be surprised next year when we have a people holding squishy things collab.
Anything but polish, like, posing. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Anything but the polish bottle. We're just squishing things through their fingers. One of them, we did talk briefly about Danny's collab, last one, and I totally forgot to bring up one of the best ones that we had, which was Linry's wax mermaid.
Oh my god. Oh my god. So beautiful.
Linry went so above and beyond.
Yeah.
Not that I expect anything less from Linry, because Linry's so extra. But she burned her fingers for your birthday.
Did. And I mentioned that. I commented on her video when she was doing her Manny review. And I was like, I'm so sorry you hurt yourself. But man, I'm so honored by this manicure. It's so chunky and thick and like detailed and accurate somehow with wax. It's amazing. Oh, it's so cool.
It was incredible. It was incredible. I was having such a good time. And also, Linry, like, so Danny, you had people do fan art. So how did that come together? Because
I don't know why. It took me a while to figure out, like, what theme I wanted to do for your birthday. And finally, I was like, just do fan art. Jesus. It's right there.
It is.
And it came out so good. People did it, like, all sorts of... Somebody did fan art of you, and a lot of people did fan art of shows and games that you also enjoy, but they enjoy. Oh, it was beautiful. I did little Zukos, and I'm so proud of them, because I never freehand, but he you can tell kind of who it is.
You absolutely can tell who it is. It just looks like pop art. It looks like a very intentional pop art look.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's all I can really do with because it's super simplified, but I was proud of my boy. Linry again, MVP of April was Linry, because she did that new anime that we were all into and I've already forgot the name of, Seventh Time Loop.
Yeah, Seventh Time Loop, villainess.
Yeah, it's a light novel adaptation, so you know the it's a paragraph long of a title, but it's a super cute anime that we all enjoyed, and she did such good nail art, and like very detailed nail art. Like, oh, wow, it was really good.
I was so excited because, yeah, like we had all like come together on that, and like his Banda loves that show, and all of us love that show, so like it was so exciting. Also had like Duncan Nails from Diana.
Yes, yeah. She had posed with her cup and I was like, that's so cute.
Yes. One time I drew a picture for Diana of Ben Affleck, because her profile picture used to be Ben Affleck holding a Duncan cup. And so I drew her a little drawing of like Ben Affleck holding his Dunkin' cup. So so now she like always sends me like Ben Affleck stuff.
That's awesome.
Which I really like Ben Affleck. He tends to be involved with really funny things.
Yeah, hang on. I'm gonna look up Ben Affleck, like, because I know the name, but like I need to see what roles has he been in so that I can like get an idea in my head. What would I know Ben Affleck from?
I mean, mostly I know him from like 90s movies. Not 90s, early 2000s. He was in like Good Will Hunting. He was always with Matt Damon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, seeing him next to... Oh, he was Batman.
Oh, yeah. I never saw him as Batman.
Yeah, I mean, because you can't even tell who he is. Nobody knew me until I put on the mask. Or wait, is that even Batman? I don't even know.
Yes.
I hate superhero movies.
I don't love them.
Okay, yeah. I recognize this guy.
So we had Dunkin' Donuts, we had Schitt's Creek, we had Bee's Claws, who honestly is one of my favorite nail artists right now, who apparently learned how to do fluid art from me, so did some fluid art of our combined favorite colors, purple and pink, and that actually partially inspired me to do my fluid art video, because I realized that so many people had not known about fluid art.
Oh, that's right. Wendy did Rick and Morty in... really great detail.
Yes.
There's Linry's seventh time loop. Oh yeah, we got two different labyrinth manis, which was fantastic.
Yeah. We had The Shining, which apparently was made before I did like a few different Shining carpet manis. And that was by painting polish. We also had a Mass Effect one that also used the Shining carpet. yeah, we had so many amazing ones. Yeah, I was so surprised. I was so excited. We had X-Men, we had Teen Titans, which I've never watched Teen Titans, but I was very excited to see it. The Labyrinth ones were so good, and Kodachi did one that was Labyrinth-themed polishes, but not necessarily Labyrinth-themed fan art.
Ali did a Labyrinth as well, which is super cute. I love her little, she did the stairway scene, but like with jelly sandwich, which looks so cool.
But I was really excited about Kodachi's because one of her polishes is David Bowie's Bulge by Scofflaw, and I want that one so bad.
Do you like the collage I made at the very end of you?
I love it. I love it so much.
I'm pretty proud of that with all your little emotes floating around. I worked hard on that.
So cute, Danny. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it was wild. I was so excited. So yeah, we had a really, I think we both had a very special birthday.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, everybody.
So yeah, we're just kind of like powering through what we have missed, but we are up to May, and there has been some new releases that are exciting and also strange in some ways. But yeah, Hollow Taco released something, and I am still on a low buy, so I didn't buy it. But it looks so dang good.
Yes, I'm very excited to see these in person. I'm pulling them up now so I can look at these colors. Because, of course, I ordered it. This was the first time, I think, ever that I was available to watch the stream and chose not to. I don't know why. I was just like, eh. So I haven't actually seen them, like, live swatched or anything yet. But it's called the Rock Candy Collection. So they are, how are they describing these polishes? They are
crushed holographic polishes, each with their own micro shimmer.
There it is. Yep. Crushed hollow formula with the micro shimmer. Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't find that. Which they just released one with the royalty sale called Spyglass. And it was a beautiful like blue with, if I remember right, like a purple kind of micro shimmer. I didn't realize they were prepping us for another rainbow. I never thought we'd get another rainbow collection. This is really exciting. And even though it's not really a rainbow collection, but it is in a rainbow sized box with seven polishes.
And there's a white polish, which I love.
Yeah, I think the white is gorgeous. So if I remember right, this one's called Sugar Rush. It's white with like an orange micro shimmer, which I don't, I don't know, all the different swatches on different skin tones and different lighting, it looks pretty different each time, but that's exciting. I like that. It means it's going to be really shifty. I don't know. I'm excited to get this collection. I don't know how useful they're going to be in nail art is my only thing. That's what I loved so much about all the other rainbow polishes or collections is they were all linear holographic. And those are just great for nail art. They reverse stamp really well. They are just great polishes. They water marble. I don't know. The crushed hollow is a little chunkier, so I'm not sure if it's going to be useful in nail art or not. But it is fun to have rainbow collections. We all love rainbows.
Yeah. Yeah. And these are gorgeous. And I guess I am going to have to eventually buy Pop Rocker, which I hadn't really looked through all these names, but I feel like that works really well for me. But it is a pink with a blue shimmer.
Pink with a blue shimmer. And it's gorgeous. It's a nice, like, more cool toned pink, you know, like or maybe that's just the blue shimmer making it look cool toned. But either way, it's a really nice combo. It's really cute.
A blue shimmer can make it look a little more cool toned.
Mm-hmm. I'm not excited as much about Jam Session. I feel like Holo Taco struggles with reds. They've made some great reds. Like Favorite Sister is gorgeous. But if left up to Christine on her own, her reds always come out coral. this is coral with a pink shimmer, which red and pink together are not, it's not my favorite, but I'm gonna see it in person and see how I feel. Of course the purple's gorgeous, purple with a blue shimmer. I mean, yeah, that's gonna be a winner. The green is really nice too. This sour note, ooh, let's see, it's green with a yellow, pink and yellow shimmer. Which that's a cute combo. So yeah, some great colors.
I saw some people literally just before we started recording talking about how they don't like the name Blue Rizzler. I think it's very funny, but I think that a Rizzler is a thing. Does it have to do with Skibbity Toilet children?
Gosh. I don't want to talk about Gen Alpha. They're up next, by the way. this year's freshmen, this year's 14-year-olds were the last batch of Gen Z. From now on, it's Gen Alpha, and I'm scared. So yeah, let me look up Rizzler here. What does Rizzler mean in slang? It means good person.
Well, that's
according
good.
To Malcolm, a 10-year-old in Washington State.
Well, if Malcolm says
New York
so.
Times, where this is your source, having Riz is when you have good game. Yeah, that's not being a good person. It means you're good at flirting, Malcolm. / New York Times. Malcolm knew what he's talking about. The New York Times does not. It's short for charisma.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Skibbity toilet lyrics. I apologize.
Wait, that's a song?
I think it is. Oh boy.
No, that's totally what they're referencing. I'm reading the rest of the Holo Taco description here. Your new favorite shade of blueberry violet crushed holographic polish hits hard with a surge of sweet pink shimmer. Now go rock somebody's socks off. And it says with Riz, but with is just a W. It's just W Riz. Ugh. That's gross. I don't like that.
Am so disgusted.
Yeah,
anyway,
my millennial sensibilities are offended.
I can remember weird, gross stuff that was popular with kids my age when I was their age.
But this is supposed to be rock candy themed. What does that have to do with music or candy? Nothing. No. So it's, it's kind of like Or Bite Me. I hate that name. That's one of Holo Taco's most annoying names, in my opinion, because it should be Orbit Me, but it's Or Bite Me. Why are we space vampires? You never mentioned vampires. Anyway, what's the Sunshine Crush is the orangey yellow one. That one looks cute. I don't see anything offending in there, but yeah, Blue Rizzler.
I guess there's a term called sticking out your gat for the Rizzler, which according to Reddit translates to sticking out your butt for the one who has romantic charisma. Gyat comes from Gyat Dam, as in goddamn, an expletive used when admiring a woman's in this context, gyat is used to mean ass only. Are you okay?
Gen Alpha! Help! I don't know why. We're just getting a little older, but I feel like Gen Alpha has more slang than anybody else. For no reason.
Oh, I think there's reason. It's because they're all online.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for us as kids, there was a large portion of the day where the only people we talked to were our parents or maybe our siblings.
Yeah.
And so, like, you could only pick up the new slang at school or through your sibling or through the TV, which isn't going to say stuff like sticking out your gat for the Rizzler.
Oh, have we let Tumblr go too far? I think we have.
This isn't Tumblr, Danny. Tumblr is Tumblr is innocent. This is, you think Jet Alpha's on Tumblr looking at Pennywise as cannons? That is filled with reserved for adults.
No, but they're being raised by parents on Tumblr.
No, they're not. Nobody knows that Tumblr exists, and everybody who does doesn't have kids, because how?
I just want to find a way to blame Tumblr.
Don't blame Tumblr. Blame YouTube and Twitter and Reddit. Like, this is actually.
And TikTok.
TikTok.
Yeah.
Yes. Blame TikTok.
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 Sit down, blame. TikTok. You were supposed to be banned. Who was it? Some creator was talking about how, like, everybody's like, save TikTok, blah, 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 blah. And then they posted a clip from, like, an unhinged TikTok video, and they were like, you're not helping. Stop it.
Yeah.
This is why we're going to be banned.
Oh. If only that was just why they were going to be banned.
Yeah. Golly. But no, my kids this year never said Riz or Skibbity Toilet Ohio, and I'm watching a lot of teacher TikToks trying to learn what all these words mean, and I do not know. I cannot help you. I cannot help myself. They are coming.
If you bend over and you hear somebody say sticking out your gat for the Rizzler, you know to send them to the principal's office. Because I remember when I was in middle school and, like, you shouldn't have done this, but it also made me laugh so much. My homeroom teacher bent over to adjust a bottle rocket because we were setting off bottle rockets. And this guy came up behind him and did not touch him, but did, like, the hold down and, like, smack.
Oh, my God.
Like, air did it. And yeah. I was like, at the time, I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
Nowadays, I'm like, oh, he was not paid enough for this.
No, BS. We're not. I have an education, Stephanie. I have 2 degrees, and this is how I'm treated.
Right? This is how your gat gets treated by the Rizzler.
Oh my gosh. I don't get the toilet. So Ohio, and any Gen Alphas listening, I don't think there's very many of you, but if you're out there, correct me if
I'm
wrong. Stop,
because you're too young.
Stop, because this is not for you. From what I understand, Ohio is like, weirdness. Like, Florida's crazy, but Ohio is, like, where the weird stuff happens. Like, you know, the weird kid. This is maybe too specific of an example, but maybe you're the weird kid who's drawing pregnant Batman lovingly looking down at his stomach in the middle of class.
See, that's what belongs on Tumblr. That child should be on Tumblr. Anyway. So, she named one Blue Rizzler. People aren't a fan. But another thing I saw in the same conversation that we had just said here,
mm-hmm,
was that these look a lot like Cirque Shimmer graphics. And yes. I think they are the same formula, basically.
I was just going to look up some Cirques so I could see a little comparison. Yeah, they look pretty similar. I would say that the Cirques are a lot. They seem to be on the softer side of colors. But let me just look at UTART, which is an adorable name. Acid green shimmer graphic with pink, green, gold color shimmer. Yeah, so it's the exact same color combo. Cirque just went like a little, I'd say a little bit more pastel in general. But yeah. And so if you enjoyed the Cirque shimmer graphics, then Holo Taco's got some more for you.
Yeah, most of their most recent Kelly Marissa collection, or only Kelly Marissa collection, actually. I don't remember if she's collabed with them before. I don't remember if
she's done anymore, yeah.
But her Las Vegas collection is actually where they premiered the shimmer graphics. So, yes. Like, Ethel's a shimmer graphic, and all the ones from That Flamingo I just wore the other day, it was beautiful, was a shimmer graphic. So it's just basically packed full of shimmer, packed full of holographics. I prefer their regular Aurora shimmers that they do with, like, a smattering of scattered holo.
Yeah, I was just, because that's one thing I've noticed in the, at least in the swatch pictures. Again, I'll have to see them in person. I don't see the holo as much as I'd like.
Yeah.
Like, it gives a nice shine, the crushed holo formula, but I'm not seeing, like, the rainbows that I see in a, like, a linear formula. And I just would prefer rainbows, personally.
Yeah, understandable. For me, I'm actually kind of the opposite. I prefer just, like, the shimmer to not be as impeded.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I want, but you know, these are all different. And honestly, this blue from the Tea Time collection, I keep looking at it and I will eventually buy that. It's so pretty. But yeah, so yeah, it's interesting to see that she is doing this. And also, but I'm excited though, because like, I personally, and I know a lot of people don't feel this way about Holo Taco's more complex formulas, but me personally, I have been pretty open about not loving them. I love that she has made this formula to be a formula that she will make a bunch of different colors in the same formula.
Yes. 100%. Yes. Because that's something I've really been missing from Holo Taco lately, is that these collections are cool, but they're all different formulas. And that's fun every now and then, or for like a special occasion. But like, Holo Taco, we all fell in love with the rainbows. We want rainbows. Rainbows and poppers. That's what they should be doing.
Yeah. We want rainbows from you. We want, you know, to be like, oh, I like that formula. Let me get it in my favorite color.
Yes.
Or let me gradient them all together. Yes. You know, of course, she was the queen of gradients. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's forgotten in some ways over the years.
Yeah.
So I think this is kind of a return to form, but in kind of like a more elevated format.
Mm-hmm.
She's kind of like just taking what she's done before and adding something new. And I think that's a really good direction for Holo Taco, because I always felt like her really intense like art polishes. Some of them I loved. Like, I finally got Existential Crisis, and dang, that polish is next level.
Yeah.
Beautiful. But I just never felt like the choices they made in those formulas were at all as good as what the indie brands are releasing on PPU.
Yeah.
I think they just have more experience putting the different pieces into the polish and making it work cohesively. And I always just felt like, oh, it's like a this color polish, except for it's all muddy because there's a bunch of random crap in it.
Yeah.
And there's exceptions. But I think that this is very refreshing. I will be buying this collection eventually, maybe the next big sale. I'll buy it because I don't need it right now, but I really like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it is $14 a pop, and I have seen some criticisms of, like, they just released a milky white shimmer, and here's another white shimmer polish. So if you are not a completionist collector like I am, it's probably not worth it to get the whole thing, unless you really want the box, and the box is really nice, so I wouldn't blame you. But
if I was a box collector, I would have bought it, but I know that it's going to end up on my floor and at risk of Neko peeing on it, so
it's not worth it. Someone else could have this. Where the heck I'm gonna put mine. My shelves are getting a little full.
So the other thing that's happened this month, it is my favorite time of year, of course. It is neon season.
Yeah.
And we have been graced with so many neons. Danny, you made a purchase.
I did. I got the Sweets and Treats collection from Glisten and Glow, which are, oh, I can't remember how she described them. I've heard people call them like muted neons or bleached neons, which I love that terminology, because it makes me think of like a beloved tie-dye t-shirt that's been out in the sun for multiple summers, and now it's like been bleached by the sun. That's, and that's so really sweet. What these look like. I used them most recently in a mani that you inspired. You did the Great Lashes mani from Maybelline. You know, that obnoxious neon green and pink bottle. And I was I loved it so much. I was like, I gotta do that. So for that one, I used Key Lime Pie and Cotton Candy, as well as Sour Apple Airheads and Rock Candy. So they're all obviously named after candy, which is so cute. And they work beautifully. They're glisten and glow creams, so absolutely zero issues with the formula. They're nice and opaque. They gradiented really well. I haven't really played with them under the black light too much, but I definitely will for the summer. I need to get a better black light setup to do my swatches, and then I'll be swatching them.
Yeah, I want them so bad. I'm on a low buy. I knew, like, this is going to sound so silly. For my brand,
yeah,
and for impartially my loyalty, which Cirque doesn't deserve more than Glistening Glow, but I really, really felt like I needed to get the Cirque Neons, the Cirque Vice collection.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the Glistening Glow collection is more, it's 8 creams, correct? Yeah, it's 8.
They do have repeating colors. Like, there's 2 pinks and 2 greens and 2 orangey peaches. They're different, obviously.
Yeah.
But, like, you could get, like, you could put together a smaller collection out of those colors and still have a nice, like, rainbow.
I mean, I definitely want all those colors because, much like Mooncat Technicolor Dreams collection, I love it when a collection is intended to go together. That's, like, my favorite thing for nail art, because it's so, like, if you are not sold on that, now, obviously, don't buy things that you can't afford. Linry always reminds people at the beginning of her haul videos that, like, you don't need to keep up with her spending.
Yeah.
I don't remind people that because I assume that you all know that.
Yes. Although I do appreciate that about Linry. I'm like, you know, that's a nice message to include, because FOMO can be bad.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot of times people will ask me, like, why didn't you buy this one since you bought all of these? Or, like, somebody asked me in my recent Black Creams video,
mm-hmm.
Why didn't you buy Emo for Life? I know how much you love Mooncat Creams, because I love the white and I love the Technicolor Dreams collection. First off, I made it very clear in that video, I don't own a black cream that is bad.
Yeah.
So it's unnecessary for me to buy Emo for Life.
You've got options.
They're the only one that makes White Rabbit. They are not the only one by far who makes a one coat black that is exceptional. But that's exactly it, is that, like, yeah, sometimes I do buy things to be a little bit completionist. Like, I bought Memento Mori from Cirque so that if I was doing an entire Cirque look, it could have the black from Cirque as well.
Mm-hmm.
Back when I used to list everything that I use, which I absolutely do not anymore.
You are free.
Yeah. Well, it's so funny because everybody's always just like, oh, well, it's always what people ask me in the comments. Like, what did I use? What did I use if I don't post it? I think, like, I've been asked 3 times in my entire existence on Instagram about something I didn't post about. And also, nobody freaking comments on my Instagram posts. Like, there's a few, but nowadays, most of them have literally sat there watching me do the look.
Yeah, so we already know.
Yeah, like, I do not have a wide reach. I just have a dedicated one. So, like, for me, it's just, like, I don't really have a reason to buy Emo for Life. I have 14 perfectly suitable black creams,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think FOMO is worth it unless, I mean, you can't really tell till after the fact.
Yeah.
But when it comes down to the standard black cream that Mooncat releases that they'll never get rid of, I'm not actually missing out. I could get on that train anytime I want to.
Mm-hmm. I think I regret only one FOMO that I didn't buy. And that was the Lisa Frank neon creams from Orly.
Oh!
Yeah. Because I was still relatively new to nail polish and I wasn't really prepared to spend that much, you know, on what I saw as something I already had with the Cirque Vice collection. And I missed out. And I regret that every day.
Well, you don't have to anymore because I have 2 sets and I don't need them.
Oh. Hey, speaking of which, do you have Lucky Jelly from Cirque Colors?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I do. I accidentally bought a second bottle.
But yeah, I want that collection really, really bad. And I will get that collection sometime this year, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'll probably just wait for, like, Black Friday.
I was going to say, they do a pretty good Black Friday sales, so.
Yeah. My favorite from that collection is Gummy Shark.
I wore that one on my right hand. It's so cute. It's not as blue as it looks in the bottle. It comes out a little bit more, teal isn't the right word, but like a sea green, you know. It's blue, but it's also green. It's really cute. It's really cute. And it does look like a gummy shark. I would know. I'm still working on that 3-pound bag of gummy sharks I bought after graduation, and they matched beautifully. You need it.
I do need it. Anyway, Colores de Carol also released a 6-piece collection.
Yes.
Which, like, the tester in me is like, give me.
Give me. I want to try.
Give me. But of course, I don't really feel like buying a 6-piece collection from Colores de Carol right now. And I bought 4 of the Cirque Vice polishes because 2 of them I already had and they weren't ones that I love. So I decided to not get the whole collection. And yeah.
I have a feeling we bought the same ones because I also bought 4 so that I wouldn't repeat. But lo and behold, we did repeat, didn't we?
Lo and behold. Yeah. I don't even know how to get into this, but Cirque be out there duping themselves.
Yeah, they're duping themselves pretty bad. Which, okay, to be fair, this is a neon cream collection that they release every year. They re-release some shades and then they add a few every year. It's probably hard to, you know, there's only so many colors or, you know, I don't know. I'm trying to play devil's advocate, but this is too much. Road Rage from this year and Game Over from, I think, literally last year or the year before.
Last year.
Yeah. Very recent. They're the same color.
They're
the same color.
So I did a stream where I did live swatches of all of these, and I should be posting them to Tumblr. You got me on Tumblr. And I should be posting them to Instagram pretty soon. But I did live swatches of all of these, and then the ones that looked like other polishes, because there were 3 that from the promos, if you weren't holding a bottle of the other polish, looked indistinguishable from ones they've released in the last 4 years. So the ones that were indistinguishable visually just from the photos were Plastic, which looks almost exactly like Gossip. Now, this case, Gossip would be a dupe of Plastic because Plastic was one of the re-releases from way back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. They also released Mile High Club, which, again, visually from a promo, indistinguishable from Sky High. And then there was Road Rage and Game Over. And so I swatched them side by side on my thumb when I was swatching. I swatched the ones that were like the other ones on my thumb. Plastic, you could tell, was a different color, although barely.
Yeah.
However, both me and Felicity Selena, we both had the opinion that we don't like Gossip, and Plastic we do like because the undertone is just different enough. Then there was Sky High and Mile High Club. Those were probably more similar, maybe the same amount of similar. I don't know how to rate similarness.
Yeah, I'm looking at your swatches now, and like Plastic and Gossip, clearly 2 different polishes. Sky High and Mile High Club, not so clear, 2 different polishes. Looks like different levels of dryness, which means they are different colors on the nail, but like it also just kind of looks like Mile High Club is still drying and will dry down to Sky High.
Yeah, Mile High Club, I think Sky High is a little more matte than Mile High Club. Mm-hmm. What I will say is that Sky High has these green undertones that I do not like.
Oh, really?
If you, yeah.
Oh,
I like it. Well, good for you.
Sorry.
That's fine. Obviously. No, like, I mean, I'm glad it's good to like things, but I've always been a bit disappointed in Sky High. And to me, Mile High Club is like if I liked Sky High.
Yeah. Mile High Club is like a true blue. It's really nice. Like primary.
But Road Rage versus Game Over, I can see the differences because I painted it, and also because, as Danny points out, there's a brush line.
Yeah, Game Over is ever so slightly orange compared to Road Rage, but like, yeah, no, if you're passing by, absolutely cannot tell the difference between those 2 polishes.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous, and at such a high price point for such a small amount.
Mm-hmm. And the fact that Game Over came out last year, like,
and that was the new polish last year. That was one of the new ones.
I'm definitely gonna have to play with those 2 together and see if I can do anything to redeem having 2 of them. But oh well, I fooled myself, I guess. I went ahead and bought them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably continue buying all of the new ones every time they release them. And this year they only released 2 new ones, which was like a bit annoying. Of course, I'm still annoyed that they haven't re-released Munchies. I've been asking them to do that for 2 years.
I'm still missing Munchies, so I'm also annoyed at that because, yeah, I don't mind them re-releasing, but definitely pull from older collections, not last year's or even 2 years ago. I think that's too recent.
And I think every other year they re-release Electric Daisy, which I can't really fault them for if it's that popular. popular?
Yeah. If it's that popular, okay. But, like, doesn't everybody have it by now? We didn't talk about the fourth color, though. This one is not a dupe of anything that I know of in the Cirque lineup. And that's High Roller. And it's adorable. It's... What color is this? This isn't teal.
Seafoam?
Seafoam. This is a nice seafoam. Because it looks like Orly Vintage, but neon.
Yes. Which
I love Orly Vintage. So it's that really cute, like, 1950s seafoam blue. Oh, it's cute. I love this one. So one winner and three... three runner-ups to their already existing dupes.
I love High Roller. I think it's so cute. It looks so cute under black light. It looks exactly like what you want it to look like in more. It's very, like, juicy, for lack of a better term.
I love a juicy polish.
It almost looks like a jelly under black light, but without the see, like, without it, it has this illusion to me of looking see-through, but you can't see the nail line. It just kind of looks like there's, like, water or something above it, like a pool. It's amazing. I love it.
That is awesome.
It's the reason I buy the Cirque Vice collection.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to play with these under neon either. Tell me, under black light either. Tell me, how do they glow?
Oh, they glow beautifully.
Even the blue?
The blue glows pretty well. If you look at the pictures, like, on the camera, the blue glowed to, like, this unreal finish. Again, kind of like how I described the teal.
Oh, there's your blacklight picture. Oh, I see right? What you mean. Yeah, it looks like, okay, it looks like you put a picture of your nails in Photoshop, or no, MS Paint, and then painted in the nails with, like, you know, that's how cartoonishly bright it is. That's awesome. That's a compliment, even though it didn't sound like it.
Yeah, I get you. I understand.
Because it really doesn't look, it looks like flat and bright and, like, forward in the camera.
Yeah, it's really like a cool. Solid color, and it doesn't waver.
Yeah, that's cool.
Road Rage looks incredible under black light. Oh, yeah. I didn't top coat these, so some of them had some, like, different finishes on them. Because sometimes if I'm swatching whole hand swatches live, I'm just like, if it doesn't, like, need a top coat to, like, smooth it, then sometimes I'll just leave it top coat.
Yeah, I do the same thing.
Plastic glows beautifully. Of course, I've already said how much I love High Roller.
Yeah.
I was using an old bottle of Guilty Pleasure, but I forgot that glows a beautiful lilac color. I couldn't really get it on camera, but in person, it was just like, it was way more cool tone than the picture got. And it was just this beautiful lilac color.
Oh, that's awesome.
And then, of course, Electric Daisy glows like insane.
Yeah.
Like, Electric Daisy isn't my favorite yellow neon, but I'm not going to say it's bad.
No. It is popular for a reason. It's, you know, it's the highlighter yellow of everybody's dreams.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I'm excited to play with these. I already did some fluid art. I'm wearing it on my nails right now. But I haven't posted them to Instagram yet. But I will. I will soon. All right. Well, I think we're going to take a cuticle break. And then when we come back, we'll be answering an audience question from our friend Polish Mess. Stay tuned. Hey everyone, it's Stephanie, and I'm here to say that if you're loving the show, please consider joining us on Patreon, where you can be a lackey. That's LACQUI, lackey. Every new lackey gets a special shout out on the podcast, and every existing lackey gets a credit on the YouTube version of our show. Today, we are so happy to announce our newest lackeys, Tanya and Tiffany Ford. Thank you so much for joining our Patreon. You may be our lackey, but we bow to you. Also, Polish Pickup Bingo is back, so please join us on Sunday, June 2nd for a night of friends, fun, and poor financial choices as we build our Polish Pickup wish list. And now, back to the show. All right, we are back. We are moisturized. We are in our lane. We are thriving, and we are answering a question from Polished Mess. Danny, could you read the question?
Sure. The question is, if you were to start a brand together, pretending you all lived closer, how would you merge aesthetics? Who would be in charge of what? Who would rage quit first?
Great question, Polished Mess. I hope neither of us would rage quit. I don't know what.
Yeah, I would hope not. I can't help but wonder. There was I can't remember what the original brand was, but it was two people who worked together on a brand, and then they split into Monarch and Beau Rev. Or I don't think it was a messy falling out, and I'm not implying that at all, but it is, I do wonder if that's like what they were thinking of, like, huh, this brand kind of split ways. I wonder if that's just the natural order of things.
I think that was a mother-daughter team, so I think that they were just like, they just wanted to make two brands.
Yeah.
Not that a mother and daughter can't rage quit each other, but... like, I guess we'll start with that. What would make us rage quit? If it was too hard?
Yeah, if it stopped being fun. Because that is something I kind of pride myself on, is I'm a content creator, barely. I'm an influencer, barely. But I'm having fun. I'm absolutely not thinking of any of this as a business. So if we were to turn it into a business and all of a sudden, like... there was stress. I don't mind a little bit of stress, you know, a little bit of deadlines, no problem. But if it's like making me upset on a daily basis, I think I would have to have that talk and be like, I don't want to do this no more. This is not my career.
Yeah, I mean, I see mine a little more as a career, but also I'm very slow at it. And it's my career like everybody else's career, but slower and worse.
But also content creation, not polish creation.
Not polish creation, but I can't lie. I have thought about making that more of a thing that I want to do. And also making stamping plates.
Yes.
The issue with stamping plates is that, I mean, a number of issues. They are harder to make than nail polish. And there's a lot of just like mental hurdles to get there.
Yeah. Yeah, especially you and me, we love like doing fandom themed things and licensing. No, thank you.
Well, okay, let's be real. If you're making no one making quote licensed stamping plates in this hobby except for Mohu.
Okay, yeah.
Actually licensing anything.
Fair enough.
That's part of the reasons people do pre-orders, because like the worst they can do is send you a cease and desist.
Yeah. Which it's like, they're already out.
Jenny Nicholson says you can then cease and desist. because like, yeah. So for example, they're not called Manitude anymore. They're called Manny.
Oh yeah.
Manny Script.
Yeah. I ordered some from them right before they like shut down and restructured, and I never got my plates.
They had, that was a common problem. That was someone where half of it rage quit. And somebody, we don't know who, somebody reported the remaining half to Nintendo and Disney, and they did send a cease and desist. But it took them years, because like, yeah, maybe they were going to do it, but like they gotta be looking in the right direction. And when you make most of your sales on a Facebook group.
Yeah.
And like, frankly, like, you know, as long as it's not like a small creator, if I'm ripping off like my favorite small YouTube animator or something, if I'm ripping off Drawfee, I care.
Yeah. Sorry. I just pictured a Jenny Nicholson plate and I got really excited.
Like, depending on how that went, she might not, like, that might be fair use, you know, if you're just like quoting her or something.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't, because I wouldn't want to meet her face to face and be like, hi, I stole your stuff. But I would happily go up to Bob Iger and be like, haha, we put, like, I don't know, Slinky Dog on our plate. What you gonna do about it?
What,
like,
you gonna do?
I don't care. Yeah, I'll go up to Mr. Nintendo. Are most of their... They have, like, a number of CEOs that oddly have the last name Bowser.
Really?
Really? I've heard of at least two.
I didn't know that. That's hilarious. I love it when people have names that match their jobs. I see it every now and then, and I'm like, oh, that's great.
I love it. Also, a lot of properties. The one that comes to mind off the top of my head is Final Fantasy, and actually Drawfee. Drawfee, I think you have to make the stuff yourself, but Final Fantasy, you're allowed to basically take their assets, and as long as you sell, I don't know if it's less than 500 or less than 100. Wait, is this Final Fantasy or is this Genshin Impact or both? Anyway, there is one of these games that my husband and I have played where they actually have basically an arrangement where you can sell their stuff, but it just has to be at a certain level.
I love that, because that lets fans do stuff without it being a competition or anything like that. That's great. That's really great. Thank you, Final Fantasy or Genshin Impact, whichever one.
And yeah, and Drawfee, which is one of my favorite YouTube channels, that they draw on it.
Yeah.
You can sell like up to, I think, 100 of a fan art based thing that you've done of theirs.
Okay.
So they have a character called Mirobiba, which is basically drunk Merida. Or maybe Merida / Homestar Runner is kind of the voice they use for her. And somebody was like on their Discord was like advertising that they were selling Mirobiba dolls.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of companies that will do that. Disney and Nintendo are by far the most like notably litigious in these areas. But I see stuff for them all the time. And if it like, yeah, sue me. If it's a big company, I don't care. I don't care that I'm making like what, $1,000 less or something on your,
yeah,
on your IP. On Mario, I don't care.
Yeah, Mario steal will away, be fine.
Yeah, Mario will absolutely be fine. So I don't think that for the level that we would be doing it, it would be a problem. And if we became a big company, of course it'd be a problem because like it's a big difference.
Yeah.
From like,
yeah,
a small little made to order creator.
Yeah.
Versus like, hello, welcome to my huge online store where I sell ripped off goods.
Something I'd worry about is like, I don't know, being creative enough with the polishes, because I have quite a collection at this point. A lot of them are indies, and indie polishes are so creative and so much fun. And there are some creators who are really, really good. I'm thinking specifically of by Danny Vienna, who can just take a character, an idea, and just literally put it in a bottle. I don't know if I could do that. Like, I don't know if I have the talent for it.
I think that together,
yeah,
we could.
Yeah.
I think putting our heads together, but also, yeah, it's going to take time. I'm sure that like Danny Viana's first releases weren't like the creme de la creme, you know? You would just have to be okay just having it be like not perfect in the beginning.
I would struggle with that, but yeah.
I would also struggle with that, which is, so I feel like if we started a brand, it probably wouldn't be a brand that had like a bunch of scheduled releases.
No, not at all, no.
It'd be kind of like, well, if you're paying attention, occasionally we do a thing.
Yep. That's how I like that. Let's take it. We're going to go full basement polish. Neither of us have a basement, but it's going to be very secretive, very chaotic and last minute. And all of a sudden it'd be like, oh, they're selling polishes.
I have a basement.
Oh, you do have a basement? Okay, perfect. Perfect. That's where we're making the polishes. Make sure some cat hair gets stuck to every single... Yep, sprinkle it on. I do not want to see a single straight label. They should all be crooked.
Gay labels are bust. Happy Pride.
Yes.
And like, I think, you know, one part of the question was how would you merge aesthetics? I don't think that would be hard at all.
Nah.
Yeah.
Because I think it, like, you know, we'd go back to this idea of fandom and stuff. And depending on the thing we were doing fan art of, you know, maybe one month we'll do goldfish themed collection, perhaps. We've mentioned that before. And obviously that would be more my aesthetic. And then the next month, I say month, time, whenever that might be, we'll do Labyrinth, you know? And that would be obviously more Steph's aesthetic. But then I like earth tones, so I could help with that part. And I love cartoons, and Steph is a neon, what is it? Sommelier.
Aficionado. I can tell the year a neon was made by taste alone.
I mean, you know the Vice collection inside and out. You literally do know the year.
I really do. But yeah, like we were just talking about that because like Danny says, like Labyrinth is like, you know, one of my favorite movies of all time. But like, it's not like the colors of Labyrinth are my polish aesthetic. Danny watches pretty much nothing but cartoons. True. And it's not like those cartoon colors are Danny's aesthetic. We certainly have ones that fit our own aesthetic. But like, if I list off, okay, one of my favorite movies of all time that absolutely I would absolutely have the aesthetic for would be like Suspiria.
Yeah.
But after that, we have The Boy, which is way more Danny's palette.
Yeah.
We have The Wicker Man, which is way more Danny's palette. Like, it's so Danny leaning.
Yeah.
And I feel like Danny's likes and dislikes.
Right. I'm sitting over here, Avatar The Last Airbender. Boom. Fall fall bright neons, like oranges and pinks and blues. What else do I love? I'm rewatching Bridgerton right now, and like, yeah, that is in your face color palette, just throwing up all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't watch Bridgerton, but I've seen pictures, and I would love to make a Bridgerton collection.
Yeah,
I don't want to necessarily watch the whole thing, but with Danny there.
It's a good time. It's honestly, you and I both enjoy some webtoons, and Bridgerton really is just, it's just a webtoon. It's so full of the silly little like misunderstandings, but then there's a few like serious things that happen too. And it's like, it's such woman porn. Am I allowed to say that on this podcast? I don't know.
It's up to you. I'm allowed to say.
Where it's all this build up and forbidden and oh, yep, my honor. And you know, and stuff like that for just a... And then when they finally do make out, they make out so aggressively. It's so funny to me. Like, I just think it's hilarious. Like, all this like hoity-toity build up, and then they just suck face so hard. Anyway, Bridgerton's great. I resisted it for a while, and then I finally watched it, and I was like, okay, this is great. This is good stuff. But yeah, I think that our aesthetics would merge fairly easily, because we do tend to like similar formulas. I don't think formulas would ever really be an issue of that. So yeah.
And also, like, you know, when you look at our purchases from PPU month after month, Danny and I tend to overlap quite a bit.
We do.
So it's not like we, you know, we're not really an opposites attract group. We're like friends with slightly varied interests.
Yeah, we're Venn diagram friends.
Yeah. Like, we like similar stuff. We like similar formulas.
Mm-hmm.
Neons might be my thing, but Danny bought two neon collections this year.
I love neons.
Right? And like... Like, you know, Danny might be more of the like earth tone person, but like, I freaking love the Orly Surrealism collection,
which is all earth tones. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, like the one thing I don't like, medium blues, unless I do. No, like, Danny loves medium blues.
I do, but they're not like my favorite thing ever. So like,
it's just one color.
It's on the opposite side of our Venn diagram. So that's it.
That's it. So yeah, I don't think it'd be hard for us to merge at all.
No, and I think it would be really, really fun. Let us know in the comments how you would feel about that.
Yeah. The question, who would be in charge of what, is a fun one.
Oh, that one is fun. I mean, I feel like there's a couple things that would be obvious to some degree. Like, I do love spreadsheets. So, you know, anything involving a spreadsheet, I'm down.
Yeah.
But so far as like... I don't know. I guess the production has to be in your basement, because where else are we going to get the cat hair?
Yeah, I think that if we did do a polished brand and or a stamping plate brand and or a combo, probably most of the production and shipping would take place at my place.
Yeah,
because I already am the one that I'm already the one that produces and ships.
So. Yeah, so shipping would fall under you, which that sounds stressful. I'd hate to do that to you, but I don't know. I don't know how else we would do that.
Yeah. I mean, that's like the main reason I haven't started doing more stuff like opening a storefront with like the physical merch that I own. Because I have a lot of stickers and buttons and stuff that I made mostly for us to go to like Polish and Beauty Expo with and hand out there. But I still have a lot of it, and I'd like to give it to people.
Yeah.
And I would love to have a storefront, but I get so stressed out about mostly about disappointing people. You know, I've seen a lot of stories about influencers who like go the quote wrong way of making their own merch, where they like print out hundreds of shirts and then they like don't actually fulfill the orders, and then the people are scammed.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, well, I meant to send them out. And like, I don't think I would be that bad, but the stress of worrying that I would be doing that.
Yeah.
It would be really, really hard. And especially if I'm the one fulfilling the orders and also talking to people like on stream and everything, like it would just be like, oh God, like if I didn't get the order out, how am I going to like go on stream and like face a particular person who placed an order?
Yeah. No, I would never want that for you. And honestly, like, I think our audience would be understanding enough. We just have like some rules from the get-go. Like this is just an example, obviously, but like I mail out orders once a month. The orders from the like previous, you know, 3-4 weeks or whatever go out on one day, and it is what it is. Like,
Yeah. I think it would just have to be like something super underground like that. Like super, you know, if you know, you know, and you're going to get in on it. And if you don't know, then I'm sorry. We're just two people. And this is our side hustle at best. Yeah, but it would be so fun. And I really want to draw stamping plates, but I'm also so nervous about that. It's pretty much impossible to get a tester plate to like send an image off to the stamping plate gods and be like, send it to me so I can test it. Like, they're just like, we're going to print you 100 and it's going to cost $200. that's it. You can do multiples of that, but nothing less.
Yeah, no, that's definitely stressful. Because can you even purchase a stamp making machine? Is that?
Well, yes. I mean, yes,
but like for less than a mortgage. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to remember because like back when I first got into nail polish, I was trying to figure out how to do that. And we actually bought ourselves a Cricut maker thinking, because it had an engraving bit, thinking that it could make stamping plates with the engraving bit.
Yeah.
It could not.
Okay.
It absolutely was too small, too shallow. And even if I went over it like 10 times, which I wasn't willing to try like 100 times.
Yeah.
It only worked to the very, very smallest extent.
Okay.
So like definitely it's not easy to get one. There are of course like the machines that do it, but yeah, like you said, it's like those are probably retailing something between like $5,000 and $30,000.
Right.
And not to say that I wouldn't be open to it, but also I would want to make sure it was the kind of thing that could create the quality stamping plates.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against Mundo de Uñas or anything. They do what they can. But like, if I'm going to invest any significant amount of money into that sort of thing, I would rather make sure that it's something good, that something that is quality that I want to stand behind.
Mm-hmm.
So that sounds like fun. But yeah, the biggest thing is just like, you know, it's like paying the upfront, getting the stuff in stock, and then me being like, oh my God, I have to like send things out. That's a nightmare.
Yeah.
There are ways of streamlining things. Like I know that Summer from Plus Life Lacquer, and presumably most of the businesses that do the same thing she does, has just like a printer that's hooked up to her sales terminal that prints out the labels and already knows the shipping and prepays the shipping.
Yeah.
So that she just has to look at the receipt, put everything in the bag, and then slap that label on and just drop it off at the post office. Doesn't have to necessarily talk to anybody.
Yeah.
So I would definitely do something like that, but it is just so many bits and pieces. But you know what, hopefully eventually my life and my brain will be together enough.
Join our Patreon.
Yeah, join our Patreon to get my life and brain together.
Also for the investment costs, it's like, y'all want to see it, get on that Patreon.
But yeah, so let us know if you're interested in that. And also if you have any things that you were like, oh, I really wish you would do XYZ. Because like, it's not off the table. It's just not, it's just, we just haven't started cooking it yet.
Yeah, it's still in the kitchen.
Yeah, it's still in the fridge, kind of. We have the ingredients. We just need to do all that prep and put it in the oven and then it will be on the table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We gotta thaw it first.
Okay. I think that's enough for today. Danny, take us out.
Thank you all so much for listening. Please check out our YouTube channel and leave a comment with your favorite moment, a story to share, and of course, any questions you'd like us to answer in future episodes.
Be sure to check out Danny and I on Twitch, Instagram, YouTube, and Patreon. I am Fanatic here. She is Danny Shout. All of our links are in the description. Join us next time where we stick out our gat for the Rizzler.
Stay lacquered.